Now, you are celebrating your release of your newest novel, The Hiding Place, which I think is fantastic.
Ah, thank you.
As some have said that it is a cross between The White Lotus, The Slap, and Leigh Moriarty's work. But can you give us a brief description?
I can. So The Hiding Place is a story about four families, middle-class progressives, I'm going to call them, who have been friends for a really long time and decide to buy a property together, a place where they can escape with the children, where they can, you know, have their kind of wild lives away from the city.
Yeah.
And they go on a weekend. It's set over just 3 days. And it's not a spoiler to say that by the first night, someone is dead. So things go south pretty quickly.
Yes.
So I really wanted to try a crime thriller.
Yeah.
That's not what I've written before. I wanted a dead body. But the other thing that I was trying to do was explore some questions around the Australian obsession with property, about land ownership, about entitlement, about this idea of how people feel like they are being good people and what that means they deserve.
Yeah. And that is a reoccurring feeling throughout, is this feeling of we are good people, we should get what we deserve. And you're right, they think they deserve this idyllic getaway, but these people have more than a few skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they have, so it's actually, it's six point of views, which was really fun to do. And everyone's kind of hiding something. And this is that classic kind of Moriarty setup, I guess. But one of the things that I really wanted to explore is through the teenager, Stella. Mm. So one of the characters is 16-year-old Stella. She's a bit of a theatre kid. She definitely does not want to be away on this weekend. She's in that limbo space between the grown-ups and the kids. And she cannot abide the hypocrisy of the grown-ups.
Yeah.
And I really wanted her to kind of be the moral centre of the book. I had so much fun writing her. I've got a teenage daughters. So, you know, I drew a little on them, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. I feel like Stella's the heart
exactly.
of the book.
Exactly. And I think these characters are super familiar as well. Like, I was reading them and I'm like, I feel like I've met this girl. I've met this guy. That's so insane. What were you hoping to kind of convey by holding this mirror up to us when we read the book and look into these characters?
Yeah. So one of my friends, a writer, messaged me to say, they are so grossly relatable, which I really liked. And I think, you know, I had a lot of fun kind of skewering them. And my rule to myself was, you know, that I had to satirize myself first. Mm. You know, that was the kind of principle. And, you know, they're deeply flawed and they behave really poorly. But also, I wanted to show that there are parts where you could say, oh, yeah, I know that dynamic. Mm. I've done that thing. I have tried to, you know, navigate my way through an ethical dilemma in exactly that way. So, you know, we often talk about this idea of unlikable characters. They are all unlikable characters, but I did want people to feel a little bit uncomfortable in that, oh, yeah, but maybe I could be Phil too.
And that's the kind of moral dilemma in the book, is like, we're good people, but, and then you kind of run with that, which I love so much. So, something that I really found interesting, though, is like, you know, all these adults, they're the rule makers. They're, you know, they're telling the kids what to do. But you put a little bit of a spin on it. The children at the camp are kind of the ones rationalizing and bringing these parents back to earth a bit.
Yeah.
What were you trying to convey?
I had a lot of fun, and there's, you know, some little scenes. One of my favorites that I did really early on, because I don't write in order, was, you know, they're hammering on the beautiful, fresh from the plastic, new sign, acknowledgement of country on the front gate. And, you know, the kids are like, yeah, but like, why are we doing that? Because you've just put up this big fence around this place, you know, and they're seeing through that kind of, which I think is what kids do, you know, they are often so black and white, and they see through adults and their hypocrisy really, really clearly. And they can't always articulate that, and they don't always get it right.
Yeah.
But I think there's a great depth of honesty there that can really pull us up as grown-ups, which is good. I like that.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. One of my favorite lines, and it's something we hear all the time, it was It's in this scene as well. They're asking one of the parents to explain the acknowledgement of country, why we do this. And they were like, oh, you know, like, and then one of the children's like, oh, that's just what adults say when they don't know the answer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's so true, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that idea that, you know, oh, it's complicated, which is often what we do, mate, explain it to them.
Exactly.
You know, they want to understand, and they often, you know, that I used a Morris Sendak quote at the start, which I've had kicking around for ages, and I've always loved this idea that grown-ups lie and tell tales all the time, but kids know.
Yeah.
You know, they always know what the truth is somewhere in there. They get that sense of it.
For your readers, what did you really want them to take away from these characters?
I think that idea of, you know, in all my books, I guess what I'm trying to do is just go, here's a thing you might want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, so and in this one particularly, I wanted to be much more fun in the issues. You know, this is about desire, it's about motherhood, it's about parenting, it's about ethics, it's about climate catastrophe, it's about land ownership, it's about a whole bunch of stuff. But I wanted to have a bit more fun with that. And I think this idea of the kids being a moral compass of sorts and asking people to maybe have a moment where they're reflecting on their own hypocrisy is quite fun. But I also, you know, this is also a book about friendship, and what I didn't want to satirize in any way is the depth and importance of old friendship as well. So I hope that there's kind of a feeling of both those things when it gets to the ending, that you're like, whoa, these people, but also, oh, these people.
Yeah, of course. And on that, so do you think these people, are they good people?
What an interesting question. I think that they will continue to rationalize and tell themselves they are good people, as so many of us do.
Yeah, that's very telling. I was absolutely obsessed with The Hiding Place. I loved this, you know, little, again, reflection of, hey, Nate, this is something you do as well. This is, you know, this book is about you. Is there any more work of yours coming in the future, or are you working on something else?
You know, what happens is that during, I only get one idea at a time, and it comes during the copy edit of the previous book. So I have got a new idea for the new book, something completely different again. And all I'm going to say is cane toads.
My mind is running wild. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for taking the time to talk to me. I'm super excited about The Hiding Place and seeing it succeed everywhere.
Thank you, Nate. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.